You're listening to WMFO Medford. It's 9 a.m. on the dot. I don't know why it's playing that, but I'm good with it.
Freeform Radio.
I haven't been here in 2 weeks, so if it's going to have ghosts in the machine, I'm okay. I'm Mike on the mic.
And I'm Mark on the mic.
And you're?
I'm Les on the mic.
Oh, there you go.
So think about that one.
Yeah, three of us here on the mic, and I haven't done this in a while, everybody, so there might be some ghosts in the machine. But I know why that one went, but I don't know why it stayed on continuous. Right. But you don't care, but I just fixed it. I fixed it.
You did.
Give me a round of something.
I'm
nobody's
too tired.
Clapping but me. Why is
And you can hear me, right?
I can, yeah. How's that? Better?
That's a lot better.
That's a lot better.
What happened?
I shouldn't have to do that.
You're trying to drown me out already?
Well,
usually you wait till 9:30.
I've had a lot of practice over the years.
This is true.
And I try to do it.
By the way, there's four of us up here today.
I know. Bob Angel's over being an
anonymous over there. The great Bob Angel.
Yep. Radio man Bob Angel.
Yeah. So he'll be on tomorrow. Yeah. He'll be on what? Tomorrow from what are you?
11 to 1.
11 to 1 or 11 to 2?
He has been
11 to 2, yeah.
He has been 2 lately.
Yeah.
But...
So listen in tomorrow if you can.
Yeah.
But you have to get through our show first.
I know. Do we have to stay for this show?
You know, it's so nice that I was thinking maybe we could shut down, put the auto back on, play like 3 hours of Peter Cetera.
Oh, I could only take one myself.
That's true. Well, yeah. 2 hours.
Yeah.
We're right. on 2 hours.
Well, we're not going to do that. What we're going to do is play a bunch of Freeform. And Mark, you've got probably some news and some, stuff like that. I know you've got a 4-song set.
I have a 4-song set.
Yeah.
I have restaurant news, couple reviews. There's some lousy news of late with restaurants. I mean, there's been some big closings, so we'll talk about it.
Okay. I always can count on you to bum me out when something I love closes.
That's my middle name.
Thank you for that.
Anytime.
That's great. And Les, you've got something nice to do today, too, right?
Well, you know, I just needed to interject. You know, by the way, I have 4 as well. And, you know, this business of the word song, everybody uses the word song, and that's wrong because a song is to be sung. So how can an instrumental be a song? Therefore, I'd like to correct the entire literature and make sure that there's a distinction between the word piece of music, and song. So there you are. I'll talk a little later.
Okay, we're going to talk fast, right?
Well,
we have to talk really fast because we're leaving a little early today.
Yeah, I think it's a lot early.
Yeah, it actually is. So, but we got here early. We actually did not get here at 9:06 today.
I know, it's pretty crazy.
Yeah, it was tough waking up, I'll tell you.
Yeah, so I haven't been here in a while. I went on a trip, and the week before that, I didn't trip, but my back hurt, so I couldn't come in here. But I had a lot of time to think about what I wanted to say and what I wanted to play. So, I for some reason, I have the wall on my mind, a wall. Yeah. A wall that's trying to be built.
You know, that's interesting, because I've been on this Pink Floyd binge.
Not playing Pink Floyd. I had it in there and I took it out.
Yeah, that'd be too easy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I saw a couple of months ago, Billy Bragg, on his Facebook page, was saying that he's obsessed by the song Why We Build the Wall.
Hmm.
And the song that he did, it's a cover, and the original artist is Anais Mitchell, I believe is how it's said. And it's a couple years old, but the lyrics are really, really... interesting as far as what we're going through. So I have that, and I have a couple of other songs about a wall. And then, of course, usually I just forgot about it and I started to round out the rest of the set. But let me start with this Billy Bragg one. I don't think that he's putting this on any record, but he recorded this song, and you probably recognize it from the original. But I think it's apropos. And like I said, haven't been here in a while, so I want to play this. And it is New Noise. Okay?
Billy Bragg, New Noise?
Yeah.
I'm really excited about this.
Okay, it's WMFO. This is New Noise. Enjoy, everybody.
Build
children, my children, because they want what we've got. Because we have and they have not. The enemy is poverty and the wall keeps out the enemy. And we build the wall to keep us free. That's why we build the wall. We have a wall to work upon. We have work and they have none. And our work is never done. My children, and the war is never won. The enemy is poverty and the wall keeps out the enemy. And we build the wall to keep us free. That's why we build.
Against this wall, with his back against the wall. sharing a dream.
Tufts Freeform Radio, WMFO, Medford.
Ah, bravo!
I was the third brother of five, doing whatever I had to do to survive. I'm not saying what I did was all right. Trying to break out of the ghetto was a day-to-day fight. Being down so long, nothing crossed my mind. But I knew there was a better way of life, and I was just trying to find. You don't know what you do till you put under pressure. Cross 110th Street is a hell of a tester. Across 110th Street, pimps try to catch a woman that's weak. Across 110th Street, pushers won't let the junkie.
WMFO Medford, Mr. Womack has left the building. Bobby Womack there. I was, like I mentioned, I was away last week and I watched a couple movies, one of which was Jackie Brown, and he's featured on that soundtrack. So I said, hey, that's a perfect fifth song from one of my sets.
Wow.
That's
that is good. So 70s.
So 70s.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah. All right, so that particular first set had a couple of kind of protest songs because I had time to stew a little bit. So I started off with things about a wall. You get it, a wall? What's the wall about? You know what? Yeah, the wall. We all talk about the wall.
Right, and we're saying how playing something from Pink Floyd's The Wall would be too easy.
It
too
would
much
be.
Of a cliche.
Yep. Plus, you know, I couldn't quite stay on track for five songs, so I did three. So the first one I did was called Why We Build the Wall by Billy Bragg. I mentioned that was a cover of Billy, and the original artist was Anais Mitchell. And listen to the original, too. It's just a great track. And I love Billy Bragg, and I love the way he did that. Just a real stark electric guitar and just him. It really brought forth what he's trying to say. Why We Build the Wall. The next one after that was Sun Vault, who we love Sun Vault. You know, it's sort of like Wilco. It sort of broke off from Uncle Tupelo, I think. And
it's funny. Well, for me, personally, I like Sun Vault better than Wilco.
Yeah.
I know some people will be upset by that, but Sun Vault didn't really do well commercially.
No, I love them both.
But boy, they got some great music.
Yeah.
And Wilco is great music too, but Wilco became a huge band.
Yep.
And they
and
still
Sun
are.
Vault
I
did
think
not.
Doesn't Wilco have a new album coming out or it came out already?
I don't know.
I heard something about it, but they both bands are terrific.
Yeah, it was Sun Vault Back Against the Wall. And then the Bright Light Social Hour finished out that with Tear Down That Wall. So I don't know what I'm thinking. No idea.
I'm glad you, well, you. I had another wall song you could have played, but it would be too depressing.
There's a lot of them.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I started to sort of lose it as I do, and instead of a wall song, it was Dishwalla. You get it? Dishwalla. I like the song, mm-hmm. Counting Blue Cars.
I heard a couple crickets
gotcha
just
there,
now.
Gotcha there, Les, huh? Gotcha? Yeah, Les is laughing. He's being... Yeah, and of course, Bobby Womack rounded out that set. So the plan today is one more set of New Noise in Freeform, then Les is up, then Mark is up, and we'll do our thing. So let me start you with some New Noise for the second set. Interesting duet here, or collab, I guess, as they say. Courtney Barnett and Kurt Vile together. New Noise. This is called Over Everything. It's new at WMFO, Medford.
Soul around, I wanna dig into my guitar, bend the blues riff that hangs over everything.
When I'm by myself and it's daytime, cause down under, oh, wherever it is I live when it's evening. You know I speed read the morning news and come up with my own little song. To a beautiful morning where the trees are all wagging, my hair flag waving, the scenery raging, my love flock cascading, and the smog hangs over everything.
When I'm outside in a real good mood, you could almost forget about all the other things, like a big old ominous cloud in my periphery. New to my jams with earplugs, but these days I inhabit a high-pitched ring over things. So these days I plug them up.
When I'm struggling with my songs, I do the same thing too, and I crunch them up in headphones, cause why wouldn't you? You could say I hear you on several levels at high decibels. Over everything.
to do another number of ours, which luckily, thanks to you, sold over a million copies. It goes something like this.
I'm gonna tell you a story.
Lift me up.
trees and dry the stream still flowing, casting down all ways and sin and guilt that overthrow me.
If I can swim out to 40 days and my mind is crushed by the crashing waves of fear, so high that I cannot fall, lift me over, lift me up
where I'm falling,
lift me up
and we can die again,
lift me up,
I need you to from drowning again.
Lift me up,
when I'm falling.
Lift me up,
and we can die again.
Lift me up,
I need you to hold me.
Lift me up,
keep me from drowning again.
It feels so
WMFO Bedford.
Thank you.
degree.
It's WMFO Medford, 9:45 in the morning. Mike on the mic along with Mark and Les Hurwitz. Let's tell you what we played there in that last set, and then Les is up. So stick around for that. Courtney Barnett and Kurt Vile together, a brand new single called Over Everything. Interesting pair, but I love that. That was very good. Some live Standells. Always nice to hear a different version of a song you love. You know, it's personifies Boston, Dirty Water. That was from 1966, everybody, live. Jars of Clay after that. And the song was Flood. I always liked that song. I haven't heard that in a long time. It's been a long time. Smithereens from Meet the Smithereens. They were kind of doing a Beatles tribute album. That was Hold Me Tight. Very poppy, very cool. And Matthew Sweet was the fifth song in the set. Divine Intervention. Just a great forgotten track that I don't play
that
enough.
Matthew Sweet album. Sorry about that, folks.
No,
back when I was in Ireland for 2 weeks in the mid-90s. Mid to late 90s, I guess, and that was our soundtrack. That was the only tape we had in the car. So all we did was play Matthew Sweet over and over and over and over again, and never got tired of it. It's just a great album. And I know people don't know who he is, like college students don't know who he is, but definitely worth picking up.
All right. Well, you know who else college students don't know? Just kidding.
Me?
Les Hurwitz is coming
too,
up.
Yeah.
And Les will not be playing any songs today. It'll just be pieces.
Pieces.
Yeah. Explain, please, Les.
Well, I don't know if I'll explain because, you know, I ain't got good English. What I'd like to discuss today for a little while is the world of difference between two aspects of performance. And this, of course, we're dealing with classical music, but it also deals with any kind of music eventually, if we think about it. And that is, in this case, today, I'll be discussing the nature of the performance in terms of greatness upon an instrument. I once had occasion to, among many conversations with the great pianist Leopold Ansnes. We had discussed him before from Norway, and arguably as great a musician as there is today on the piano. And we discussed once, we came up with a remark. I mentioned it to him. I said, well, then what we're talking about is that there's a world of difference between a great player of an instrument and a great musician. And he looked at me for a moment, and then I said to him, I consider you not primarily a great pianist, but a great musician who happens to choose the piano to prove a point. So that makes you a great musician. And today I'll discuss something that will not move the spirit so much, but it will absolutely sensationalize your senses. It's the question of greatness in the performance, the physicality, the technique. The physical technique as it applies to the instrument we call the piano. And I'm going to take one piece of music. You're going to hear the same piece four different times. So please do not fall asleep until you hear all four. Make sure that you know that there's an argumentation on my part that can actually almost make sense if you add two and two together and still come up with five. Believe me, you're wrong. The piece is from from a ballet written by Stravinsky. Let's see, 1910 is when he wrote one of his classic ballets. And that ballet is called Petrushka. Spelling, and I mentioned this to Mike, Petrushka is the best way to key it in if you want to learn more about this incredible ballet music by Stravinsky, who was one of the giants in the 20th century, of course. And Petrushka, of course, in Russia, many of you may know, really is the word clown. It's a story of, there are three clowns in this, but we'll talk about Petrushka himself. In England, this is a puppet, and a puppet is a classic figure. For instance, Petrushka in Russian, transferred to, say, England, would be Punch and Judy, or transferred to France would be Polichinelle. And, of course, Petrushka, or Punch, is a mischief maker, a wife beater, a skate, a ne'er-do-well, and full of mischief. And you're going to hear it in this piece called Dans Rus, the Russian dance. In the original ballet, Petrushka does a dance to prove a point, and it's called Dans Rus, Russian dance. And 10 years later, 10 years after the writing for the orchestra of the original ballet music, Stravinsky decided to write this for the piano as well. And what is interesting, he did not make it a transcription. He did not make it an arrangement of the music. But he decided to shut himself entirely from what he had done orchestrally and make it a piano piece. And conceive it as if he had never written it before and first had written it for the piano. And this is what you're going to hear today. It is an extremely difficult piece. Stravinsky does not use the piano as a singing instrument, which we hear so often in such great music as, say, Chopin, Schumann, you know, all of the romantics, which makes a percussion instrument. Remember, the piano is a member of the percussion family. It sits right next door to the drums. It's part of the same family. But there's a question of how much lyricism can we get out of the piano. Listen to in pop music George Shearing, and listen to how beautiful the piano can be. Or listen to a nocturne by Chopin and become, you know, this is where great music shows you, where you come out and end up in a different place. So now in this case, Stravinsky attacks the instrument. He makes it an attack instrument. He makes it a pure percussion instrument. And it is extremely different. Listen to the difference in speed. between a nocturne and this piece. Listen carefully for the technique that Stravinsky has to use in order to make this thing come alive in terms of the way the wrist action is. It's incredible as to how quickly up and down the wrist has to go, especially in the right hand. Listen to the numbers of notes played. And by the way, there are no single notes. As quickly as played, there are three or four or five or even six notes played at a time, both hands. Listen to the first of these recordings, then we'll discuss a little more about this piece by way of other three other instrumentalists. Horvitz recorded this in 1928, which makes it one of the first recordings he ever made. He was into his 24th year. He was born in 1904, and he was already considered a lion of the piano at age 24. He had taken the world by surprise 4 years later when it came into Carnegie Hall, came into America. And one of the great reviews was headlined, "The Greatest Pianist Alive or Dead." That's what they called him. He was unbelievable. And there's a kind of neuroticism, an edge to his playing because of the fear he had until he died of failure in front of an audience. And this kind of demon, he had such power and conviction over in terms of what he could do that he prevailed. He was not a failure in front of an audience, but he was so afraid of it. He ended up with psychiatric help and all this sort of thing, on and off. He had to retire from the stage 4 times, but came back because he needed to do the job that was given to him. Listen to this performance of Petrushka as done by a 24-year-old Vladimir Horvitz. Consider that what you just heard. Every note you heard was a written note. A written note. How many thousands of notes did you just hear? If I had something better to do, I'd sit down and count them, but I'll do it another day. Now, that's Horvitz at his neurotic best at 24, and he lasted until he was 85. And only one time, and perhaps someday we will discuss it, he did fail in front of an audience. And it's a story unto itself, but that's another time. The second iteration of this piece will be done by a fellow by the name of Alexis, that's A-L-E-X plus I-S, Alexis Weissenberg. W-E-I-S-S-E-N-B-E-R-G, a pianist born in Bulgaria. I believe he died in Paris only about 5 or 6 years ago. He was born in 1929. Now, the reason we don't know Weissenberg by name, he's not a household name like Horowitz, is because he was perhaps not considered a great musician by just too many critics. But he was an incredible pianist. And at times, I think he ventured into the world of greatness as a musician, but that's another story. But listen to his technique. I think, personally, I think it's equal to Horowitz's technique. He was considered a giant, technically. He was a bigger man than Horowitz, and he had a larger hand. And it made it just a little easier, perhaps, to deal with the space involved in this piece, which has chord after chord after chord. When you're going, ya da 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 da, every one of these is a chord, not a single note. Every one of these is a different chord. So it's extremely difficult. By the way, you know, getting into this thing, the world of difference between performance of an instrument and making the atmosphere move around you, that is making great music, is not germane to this particular subject. We're simply talking about performance on a physical basis and what it takes to make a great technician come to being. Now, in the case of Weissenberg, he was not cold, but he was critical about the way he played, and that self-criticism got into his music and made it perhaps a little cooler in temperature, and maybe that's why he's not considered a household name today. But what a pianist he was. Listen to the way he deals with the same piece.